All right, let's give it up for these guys this morning. Well, starting off with high hopes. How many of us have high hopes? Just out of curiosity, do you have high hopes for the upcoming year? Yeah, most of us? Awesome, man. I had a lot of high hopes, and I actually got my first dream come true yesterday. I get to put my Tom Brady jersey in the absolute back of my closet. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, we have game day weekend coming up in 1 month, Super Bowl weekend, and I always get the loser jersey, which I've wore Brady for the last 4 years because they've gone to the Super Bowl. This is getting buried. So it has been a good year so far in 2020. Yes. More on that. All right. Well, man, it's great to have you here this morning. How many of us have set New Year's resolutions? Just out of curiosity. Let's be honest. If you did, yeah. Man, less and less people because, you know, it's interesting. We all want change. U.S. News and World Report actually talked about how 80% of Americans fail at their New Year's resolutions. In fact, only about 8% have success in setting the goals that they have. And it was interesting. Here's the fascinating date. January 12th is the fateful day for all resolutions. Nearly all resolutions come to a halt by January 12th. So you got 1 week, all right? So keep it up. Keep going. Happy New Year, by the way, on that note. It's great to have you here. My name's Kurt. We're going to talk about how we really get sustainable change today. And, you know, one of the things I often do from this platform is I try to share from my personal experience, oftentimes my failures, sometimes my successes, things I've learned along the way, but a lot of times my failures. In fact, I'll often walk out after a weekend and go, oh, man, was that too much? Was that, like, a little too vulnerable? Did it, like, just kind of a little too heavy for people? And usually people are like, oh, no, we love hearing how screwed up you are. I mean, you just keep going. It just makes us all feel good. So, you know, CrossPoint's a place where it's okay not to have it together. And so if you're here today for the first time or you're, you know, repeat, maybe here for the second or third time, just know, man, we come in here and our lives are not, you know, we're not trying to prop up a spiritual life of excellence. We're trying to pursue what God wants to do in us. And we believe that growth happens when we're real about where we are. And so as we begin 2020, I want to share a process with you this morning for breakthrough. And it's something I've shared before from the platform a number of years ago. It's something that I talk probably more about than any other process when I meet with people one-on-one and there's some major change that's needed in their life. And so here's what we're going to do as we do this today. We're going to kind of look at two storylines in parallel today. And one of them comes from the Old Testament portion of the Bible. It's a guy by the name of Moses. Maybe you've heard of him. And then the second one is a guy by the name of Tim Robbins or Andy Dufresne from the movie Shawshank Redemption back from 1994. And these storylines really parallel each other and help us see this process for real breakthrough. So let's start here with this scene with Andy Dufresne and Shawshank Redemption.
In 1966, Andy Dufresne escaped from Shawshank prison. All they found of him was a muddy set of prison clothes, a bar of soap, and an old rock hammer, damn near worn down to the nub. I remember thinking it would take a man 600 years to tunnel through the wall with it. Old Andy did it in less than 20. Oh, Andy loved geology. I imagine it appealed to his meticulous nature. An ice age here, million years of mountain building there. Geology is the study of pressure and time. That's all it takes, really. Pressure and time. That in a big poster. Like I said, in prison, a man will do most anything to keep his mind occupied.
Thank you.
Andy crawled to freedom through 500 yards of shit-smelling foulness I can't even imagine. Or maybe I just don't want to. Yards. That's the length of 5 football fields. Just shy of 1/2 mile.
I was telling our tech team, I'm like, I didn't think about the idea of a man's 4-inch nipple on the screen right before we started the message. But welcome to Crosspoint. There you go. You know, Shawshank Redemption really is a fantastic movie. If you've not seen it, it's well worth the time. I don't know the screenwriters, those who wrote the film. I don't know what they understand about spiritual change, if they have a faith. But I tell you what, they know what spiritual change is about, which is redemption. In fact, redemption is this idea of God coming in and taking something in its current form and repurposing it for a higher purpose. That's what redemption is. And that's what we see right here. I mean, we see Andy in this movie. He's in his current situation. He goes through this intermediary process and all kinds of junk he has to go through. I mean, literally in a sewage pipe. And he comes out the other end cleansed. And that process that Tim Robbins went through in Shawshank Redemption, it's the same process Moses and the Israelites went through when they exit the nation of Egypt, when they're in slavery to Egypt. And in fact, how many of us have seen Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments, just out of curiosity? Oh, my word. And you call yourselves Americans? Like 10% of us. How about Prince of Egypt? Anybody seen the animated DreamWorks? Yeah, a few more of us. Or if you haven't seen either one of those, maybe you've read the actual story in the Bible, though I doubt it if you've not watched those two movies. But the story that the nation of Israel goes through is a process of redemption. And it's the same process Tim Robbins goes through in Shawshank Redemption, and it's the exact same thing that you and I are in right now. Every single one of us are somewhere in this process. And so this morning, I want to kind of unpack 4 distinct phases for breakthrough, for us to kind of break from something that we're currently in and get to a new place. And as we look at these this morning, I guarantee you, you're in one of these phases right now. You could be in multiple phases, depending on what it is you're maybe tackling in your life right now, but 4 distinct phases. Here's the first one. Ready to go? First one is the blahs. The blahs. The blahs, the nation of Israel, they're in the blahs. Andy Dufresne was in the blahs. He was in prison. He's like, just this place in life where he's not really living fully the way he was designed to be. The nation of Israel was in slavery to Egypt. They were in the blahs. All right, the blahs is your current situation. It's your status quo. And it's not like anything overly awful is necessarily happening, but it also isn't that anything overly good or beneficial or life-giving is happening. It's just blah, like eh, you know, like if you're into emojis, it's like eh. You know, and so the blah phase, the nation of Israel, they were enslaved for hundreds and hundreds of years. You'd think they would have a plan. If they'd been enslaved for hundreds of years, a plan, a strategy to get out of this place, but they didn't have a plan. They were very content to stay exactly where they were in this mediocrity. And so God moves through this leader by the name of Moses. And basically says, Moses, you need to take your people and lead them out of slavery into freedom. And so Moses goes to the Pharaoh, the leader of the nation of Egypt, and he begins this dialogue with Pharaoh, basically asking Pharaoh to let his people go. And the people of Israel, they're providing slave labor for the nation of Egypt. And so, you know, Pharaoh gets really upset that Moses keeps coming to him. And so he says, you want freedom? You want freedom? You're so annoying right now. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to double their workload. That's what I'm going to do. Just because you keep asking, they're getting twice as much work. So that's what happens. And that's often what happens in the blahs. Right? When we're in the blahs, it just isn't that happy. In fact, here's what it says in Exodus 5. It says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble against this people? Is this why you sent me? I mean, Moses is basically like, God, but before you like called me to go and request this change, I mean, life was, it was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible, but it was predictable, right? I mean, we knew exactly what we could get. The blahs, when you're in the blahs, you can manage. It's not that you can't manage. You're familiar with it because you've experienced it for a while. There's no tragedy. There's no tension. There's no ulcers. I mean, for the most part, it's like, I can continue this. At the same time, there's no growth. There's no advancement. There's no spiritual intimacy with God. You just kind of stay right where you are. It's my proverbial picture that I love to talk about, the toddler in a dirty diaper, right? You see the toddler in the dirty diaper in the corner, right? They just loaded their drawers, and you're like, hey, would you like a change? They're like, no, it's mine, mine. You know, because there's something about that mess that we make, and it's warm, and it stinks, but it's mine, and I know it, so I think I'll keep it, right? That's the picture of the blahs right there. And the blahs, it's not like it's incredible, it's not like it's awesome, but it's not terrible either, so we just stay there. In fact, for some of us, you know, financially, as we reflect on the year, like we want to do better financially, we're in the blahs financially. Well, there's way too much month left at the end of your money, right? And you're making it, you're getting through via Visa, and so Visa kind of helps you carry on from one month to the next. In fact, I recently saw a statistic from Value Penguin on consumer debt, and it said that the average household debt in a dual couple home, a dual income earner's home, is monthly $5,700 for people who pay off their credit card monthly. But for those who have revolving debt that doesn't get paid off monthly, it's actually $9,300 and some change. And what happens when you're in debt, and I get this because I've been there. Julie and I, we were in debt for years until we decided to work out of this. When you're in debt, you learn to live with it. And it's not terrible. It's not like, oh, it's the worst ever, but it's not awesome either. And so you just learn to live in the blahs, to be okay with the blahs. Or let's say you're dating someone. And maybe you're dating someone, you come to the point, you know, in your relationship where you think, oh, it's a good idea that we have sex together. And maybe you don't understand that God thinks that's not really a good idea because intimacy should always match commitment. And whenever those get out of whack, then it's just not God's best for us and it's not the way he designed. It opens us up to a lot of pain. And so maybe you don't know that God says that, or maybe you do know God says that, but you just don't care. Or maybe you know God says that, but you just had a moment of weakness. Whatever the reason, your relationship goes sexual before there's a level of commitment in the relationship. And it just complicates things. And all of a sudden, you're like, I don't know if this relationship's good, but like it just went really deep and got really connected really quick. And now there's like these emotional strings that are attached. And even though I think I probably need to end the relationship, I can't imagine ending the relationship because I'm so vested. We're intimately connected, so I've got to make it work. Even though the relationship probably needs to come to an end, there's a complicating factor. And you're just in the blahs and you don't know what to do. And so you just stay in it, even though it's not life-giving. So your dating life's in the blahs, maybe your financial life's in the blahs. Your kids might be in the blahs. And we don't laugh about that one, right? I mean, for some of us, our kids are in the blahs right now. All right, you look in their face and they're not thriving. I mean, they may not be tanking, right? But like you look at them, you're like, they're not really going, they're not developing somewhere. And it's not like they're annoying you. They may be annoying everybody else, but they're not annoying you. So like, you don't really do anything about it, but it's like you're not strategically doing things to help them move forward. And see, here's what happens in the blahs. If we don't catch these things in the blahs, where it's not great, but it's not terrible, then eventually they go to the brutals. Now, the brutals is when you're forced to change, right? The brutals is when, you know, like all of a sudden, like, you know, you're in that dating relationship, somebody gets pregnant, and you're not committed by marriage, so somebody just bails, and all of a sudden, man, things end, and you have no choice in it. I mean, those are the brutals, like we're forced to change. Or the brutals are when your kid, you know, they're in the blahs, they're not really all that great or all that bad, but eventually things get a little worse, but we don't do anything, and eventually there's a substance abuse that comes, and all of a sudden we're like forced, like, oh, now we really have to do something, and we're in the brutals, because we didn't catch it in the blahs. See, the trick is to realize when I'm in the blahs, what's the move? What's the move I need to make so I don't go to the brutals before I'm mandated to change? And listen, before we talk any more about this, I never like talking about things where we don't have a direct application. You know, like the worst thing that could ever happen on a weekend is, and it happens every now and then, somebody would be like, oh, those are some really good thoughts to take home. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Like, I don't want to have good thoughts walking out of here. I want to have something we can really apply to our life. And so I want to do something kind of unique about, I don't know, 5, 7, 8 minutes in. I want to talk, just pause. I want us to pray before we go any further and just ask God to maybe reveal to us where the blahs are in our life right now. So let's do that. God, thank you that we can be here today. And God, I thank you that you're a God who meets us where we are. And we don't do stuff like this because we just got to fill an hour on a Sunday. There's all kinds of other things we could be doing. We're here because we want to grow. We want to move forward. And so before I talk anymore, I just pray that you would bring to our mind maybe that thing or that place in our life where we're in the blahs. That place needs to change. We may be aware of it. Maybe we've been thinking about it, strategizing how to get out of it. So whatever that is, just help us to really, for the rest of this message, to be able to focus in on that. And I've given three examples of dating and finances and kids, but there's dozens and dozens of other places. So God, just would you just give us an impression right now? All right. So I'm going to trust that you have something in your mind now, a place that, and if you don't, that you figure this out over the next few minutes. And so as you think about that area of blahs, okay, how do I make a change? What's the next phase? When we recognize we're in the blahs, if we want to go to the next place, then the next phase is what's called the break. The break. Now that's that moment in Shawshank Redemption, that short clip you saw where Andy Dufresne, he decided, I'm going in the hole. All right, I'm gonna make a break from my current situation, and it's gonna be different, but I'm going for it. All right, now in the nation of Israel, their break came in the moment when they moved to a new place, when they decided we've got to get to a new place. In fact, here's what it says in Exodus 12. It says, now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. They'd been in slavery 430 years. At the end of that 430 years, to the very day, all of the Lord's divisions left Egypt. And so the break for them was the moment they chose to step out and get out of bondage. Right? And there's a series of things that happened right there and that were supposed to happen. And they were supposed to get to the promised land and they were supposed to grow in their intimate connection with God and their dependence on God. And not all those things happened right away. All right? But there was a definitive moment where they made a break and they said, from this point forward, we're doing something different. We're going to the new. See, the break, there has to be a specific action that's done that actually moves us and so we can actually grow and we can change and get to a different place. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're like, well, Kurt, that works for some things. Like, I'm just trying to do better in my finances, or if I need to, you know, quit smoking or drinking less, whatever it might be, okay, I can decide, okay, I'm going to make a definitive change. It's not that easy on everything, and right, you are, if you're thinking that. It certainly isn't. I mean, if you're dealing with deep, deep wounds, I mean, things that may be connected to abuse or sexual abuse or child abuse of some kind, you don't just make a break by like eliminating the grief and being like, well, I'm not going to be sad anymore. You don't just make a break by deciding to forgive the person who may have, you know, created that in your life. I mean, your break, the break for you might be saying, you know, today I'm going to choose to tell somebody else about it. For the first time, I'm going to say, you know, I've never told anybody about this, but I'm going to share this with somebody. Or better yet, to maybe arrange an appointment with a counselor, with a therapist, to get into counseling. Because one of our next steps on the back of your connection card today is, you know, if you need a counselor and it's just time to get past some of the past, I mean, we'll send you a referral this week and it'll be confidential just between you and us, and we'll send it and you can set that up. Maybe that's your break. Some of us know that's the step we need to take. If so, just mark that on your connection card. See, the break is when you choose to do something different. And see, here's the fascinating thing. We have this vested interest to not change. In fact, physically and spiritually, there's a lot of things that mirror each other in our world. In fact, take a look at this right here on the screen. This is a double helix. You might be familiar with it if you've, you know, paid attention in science class. The double helix is interesting because, you know, scientifically, every cell that comes into our being, you know, our bodies, I mean, from the moment that you were an embryo, every cell that gets reproduced contains a blueprint for your entire body. It's within the double helix. And what happens is that cell takes that blueprint for your DNA and it reproduces it and embeds it in every cell that's created in your body. Now, one of the things we know, both physically as well as spiritually, is things that are healthy grow, right? I mean, plants that are healthy, they grow. Organizations that are healthy, they grow. Individuals grow. Marriages grow. Whatever's healthy should grow. When cells are healthy, they reproduce and they multiply. Now, what's fascinating about these cells when it comes to our DNA is there are systems built into our bodies so that when to ensure that the integrity of that DNA gets replicated into each cell. Now, when I say the integrity of the DNA, I'm not talking purity. I'm not talking like that cell's exactly the way it should be. No, I'm talking about the integrity of the way that DNA was originally formed. right? And so if for instance, you know, it's mapped out that you should have cancer at 41 or whatever, I don't even know how all that works, but if that's like part of your DNA, then, you know, whatever it is, the function of that DNA, if it doesn't get reproduced exactly the way the blueprint calls for, there's a mechanism within the cell to implode, to like self-destruct, to eliminate the cell. And this is very interesting because this is what happens in the physical world as well. And some of you are going, oh my gosh, he's really smart. I didn't know he knew all that stuff. I don't, just so you know. Like I'd have somebody tell me and then I reread it over and over just to make sure I like, and I think I got it pretty close. If you're in science, you might want to correct me later if I got it wrong. But see, here's the thing. The body is a way of protecting itself. Change never happens because we eliminate the change. There's a built-in mechanism to kill it off. And see, the same is true in the spiritual world. I mean, for some of us, you know, we just keep doing the same thing we've done for 20 years or 80 years. And you know, we're like, I don't need to change. I mean, this is the way I am. And yeah, God accepts us exactly the way we are, but he wants to grow us forward into who he dreamed for us to be. And see, this is why making a break is very hard. Because there's built-in mechanisms to resist that. Now, some of you might be going, well, I love change. I love change. I'm changing all the time. And right, you are. I mean, you're changing spouses and who you're dating and banks and churches. I mean, you're always changing. I would not call that change. I would call that fickleness. That's what I call that. Fickleness is a lack of follow-through, all right? Different than real change. When we're talking about change, real change is in our internal structure. It's how I view the world. It's how I operate things. It's noticing that there's things that I need to grow in. And said, okay, it's time to make a break. And it's why change is so hard. Let me give you a couple examples. You know, financially, a definitive break might be, you know, cutting up the credit cards and making a plastic souffle by putting them in your oven. Just toast them up, right? Like getting rid of them. Or better yet, maybe it's going to Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. This class coming up, I'll tell you what, in 3 weeks, if you financially want to make change, you need to get into this class. It's a game changer. And in fact, let me give you a couple statistics from one of our previous classes that met a year or so ago. In the five families that went through this class a year ago, take a look at this. There's $382,000 plus in total non-mortgage debt among those five families. Those five families also reported when they began the class, $11,000 in liquid cash available, or savings basically, and they had over 32 open credit cards. Now over this 10 weeks, just 10 weeks during this class, check this out. That group, actually only four reported at the end of the class. I think one family didn't make it because change is hard, all right? Not everybody makes it. At the end of that class, nearly $30,000 had been paid down in that debt, in that non-mortgage debt, just over 10 weeks. Nearly doubles the amount of savings, $9,000 additionally saved for emergencies, five credit cards closed or tore up or closed down or burned up or put into a souffle. All right, all of that happened in the course of 10 weeks because there was a pattern that was developed to get to a new place. Right, maybe this is the break you need, is just signing up right now, going into the app and saying, man, I'm going for Dave Ramsey. Listen, I don't care how many people are in the class. All right, the goal isn't let's fill the class so we can say it's full. The goal is we want to help you get free. This is one of the ways you do it. You know, a break might be, you know, if you're dating someone, a boyfriend or girlfriend, and you realize, man, it is just not healthy. I mean, there's many other reasons to break up, but it's just not healthy, and it's time to say, okay, I'm out. All right, it's got to be a definitive break. And guess what? The problems aren't over when you do that, right? I mean, the credit card bills continue to come. I mean, you got to continue to walk that out. I mean, if you make a break and things got really emotionally or sexually connected and there wasn't a commitment to match that, guess what happens? You make that break, they storm the gates, right? I mean, they're like turned on because you had the courage to break things off. I mean, you get more texts and more calls, and so it doesn't always get easier. This is why the next phase in the process of breakthrough is what we call the blues phase. The blues phase. See, the blues phase is when we recognize we need to change and we need to make a break, but we also realize that when we make that break, the problems don't necessarily go away. This is the image of Andy Dufresne, you know, elbowing, army crawling his way through that 500 yards of nastiness in that sewer hole. That's what that is. It's the moment I make the break, but the next moments may not be the best. In fact, sometimes they actually get worse. In fact, if we look at the nation of Israel and Moses, I mean, here we have Moses leading this, probably about 1 million people out of slavery in Egypt. They make the break. They leave Egypt. They begin toward this place called the Promised Land that God had promised them. God parts the Red Sea. They walk through the middle of the sea. Pharaoh decides, you know what? That wasn't a good idea for me to let them go. I'm going to go after him now. So he sends his armies back after this group of people he just let go. as the Israelites get through the sea, then all of a sudden the water comes crashing in, killing Pharaoh's army. I mean, the hand of God in this moment is incredible. You'd think the Israelites would be in this like an ultimate euphoria, like, oh my gosh, look at what God is doing. He's leading us to freedom. But take a look at what happens here in Exodus 16. It says, in the desert, this is right after they passed through the Red Sea. In the desert, the whole community, look at this next word, they grumbled. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron, the one who led them out of slavery. Why did they grumble? It says, the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and we ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into this land to starve this entire assembly to death. They're like, we're hungry. Where's the Taco Bell? Like, there's no Taco Bell. All right, where's Chipotle? No Chipotle out here either. All right, what are we going to eat? See, here's what happens when we're in the blues phase. When we're in the blues phase, we always go back to fantasizing about how great it was in the past. We make the break, we begin to go to the new, and we begin to fantasize. It's what they're doing right here. Like, man, we had food to eat. We may have been slaves. We had food to eat. We were around the fire every night. There was meat in our stew. And they're fantasizing about how great it was. This is what always happens. This is an incredible temptation. When we begin to make a change, we get drawn back into the comforts of what we used to know. It's like, hello, McFly, you were slaves. I mean, don't think that being a slave is not that great. Remember, I mean, you're thinking about the fantasizing about the good parts. Remember about all the things that you're working now, a double load. But see, this is what we do, right? We fantasize about how great it was where we were, the person we were dating. Well, it wasn't that bad. Or we fantasize about, you know, that TV and the car and the living room suit we all put on our credit card. And it's like, oh, man, we live in the past. And we fantasize about because we can't take the difficulty of the blues. And so it often gets worse before it gets better. This is how it always works. It works that way physically. It works that way spiritually. For instance, who's been doing the gym since the beginning of the year? Out of curiosity, anybody? Yeah, some of you are like, oh, I can't put my arm up. I've been doing the gym, right? Because you're like sore, right? It's sore. It doesn't always get better, right? It's like a double-edged sword, right? You're like, oh, I don't want to go, but if I don't go, I feel guilty, so I should go. And so, man, it just sucks. I don't know what to do. Because it always gets worse before it gets better. I mean, think about the establishing of our country. Back in the 1700s, I mean, America, we were in the blahs, right? I mean, before we established ourselves as a country, we were in the blahs. I mean, things weren't all that great, but they weren't all that bad. We had some nice new colonies. And then all of a sudden, our forefathers, what'd they do? They went and signed the Declaration of Independence. What is that? It's declaring, hey, we're independent from England now. We are officially, they made the break. And things were good for a few months, right? It takes a few months for the warships to get across the ocean. A couple months later, England shows up. All of a sudden, things aren't that great. They're in the blues. Everybody's grumbling. Maybe we should have stayed the way we were. This is the reason we always shortchange the process. See, I meet pretty regularly with guys. I meet with people periodically, you know, working through problems. I talk about this process of change. But it's common for me to meet with guys who are dealing with porn issues, partly because I talk regularly about, you know, some of my porn struggles earlier in my life, in my teenage years, up through my mid-20s, and just the change and the difficulty of working out of that addiction. And oftentimes I'll hear from guys, they'll say, man, I need to change. I just don't think I can do it, though. And I'll look at them in the eye and I'll say, dude, you can totally do this. You totally can do this. Like, I just don't know I can do it. And I've said that before. I mean, I've felt that before. I've been at places where I feel like, man, I just don't know that I can do this change. And see, the reason that I tell them, man, you can do this. I mean, you really can get to a new place is because one of the things that I've discovered is that the key to getting through the blues is having automated systems in your life. Automated systems. I often say to them, man, listen, you're in a different place. You're surrounded by a different group of people. You've got a community like this now that's around you. You've built automation into your life. For instance, you're doing things like this. You're coming to a worship service, you know, one time a weekend, you know, and you're a part of something that's building into you. You're hearing things you normally wouldn't hear in other parts of your life. It's not like come to church because it makes God happy. No, it's for your benefit. You're surrounded by automated things. You're in a small group. A lot of times, the biggest thing for guys is to get in a small group community where you can talk about your stuff, talk about your junk, your garbage, realize things you're dealing with aren't that much more, you know, challenging than what other guys are dealing with. You got to have automated systems in place to get through the blues phase. Whenever we think I can just rely on myself and I can figure this out and I can do it all on my own, you will never change. We've got to have automated systems. I mean, finances. A number of years ago, somebody said to me, they said, Kurt, you don't have time to figure out how to save money and how to pay all your bills every week. I'm like, you are right. Thank you for finally telling me something I understand financially. And so, you know, and so they said, you know, you need to automate this kind of stuff. Well, what's the automation on that? What's it called? Bill pay, right? Bill pay. I mean, everything in my life that's important to us in our family is automated. All our bills, our mortgage, our insurance, all the things that are super important, they're automated. Our giving to Crosspoint, our tithe comes out. As soon as the paycheck comes in, our tithe goes out. Some people say, I just can't do that. Because we wait to see what's left at the end. No, when you do it first and it's automated, the things that are important, they happen. See, Julie and I, we had our finances in a wreck a number of years ago. And we had so much revolving debt and we just looked around. We were in the blahs. We'd learned to deal with it. And I didn't have time to do the tedious management of my finances. And so I'm just not wired that way. So we decided to make the break. And that, for us, meant meeting with a financial counselor to set a budget and determine how much money we needed to set aside each month to begin a snowball pay down on all our revolving debt. And they said it'd take us about 6 years. We actually knocked it out in about just under 4 years, about 46 months. Over $40,000 in just under 4 years. It was crazy. I knew how to do it. I knew how to do it here. But I hadn't made the break, and I hadn't gotten with someone in community that was willing to help me put structure and hold me accountable to it. So I didn't have much progress. Church attendance. Church attendance is always up, January and February. I don't know why. I mean, I love it. It's good. But I think it's because many of us were like, man, I need to be in church more regularly. Not because it makes God happy or God's going to strike me down if I don't, but just like it benefits me. That's what church is, right? It's an automated system. It's a place where we come and we get challenged with things we don't get challenged with in the rest of our life. And maybe for some of us, you know, to start this year, it's just saying, man, short of an emergency at 9:30 or 11 on Sunday or 7:15 on a Thursday, I mean, I'm here. I'm going to be here. Or if I can't be here Thursday, I'm going to be here Sunday. If I know I can't be there Sunday, I'm going to be here Thursday. Because it's an automated system. See, automated systems are what get us through the blues. And then the fourth step. And this is the step we all want to get to, right? We all want this right away. The fourth step is the blessings or the benefits. See, for Andy Dufresne, that was that moment he came out of the pipe and he's getting cleansed and he's standing in the water. That's the moment of the blessing. I'm free. I'm experiencing freedom. But see, he didn't just go from I decided to make the break to freedom. He had to go through a lot of stuff to get there. Israelites, the same way. I mean, it's a long, long time after they make the break before they really get to the place of the benefits. And part of that's because they do some things that actually kind of undo some of the work God had been doing in them. And so that's kind of a story for another time. But take a look at what happens in Joshua years later. So the Lord gave Israel all the land that he'd sworn to give their forefathers. And they took possession of it and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of the enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of the Lord's good promises of the house of Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Everyone was fulfilled. See, there's two great ways that God works in our life, two venues for God to work in our life, if you will. And we all want good things, right? We all want good things in our life. We want happy things going on in our life. There's two ways that these things happen. The first is the venue of grace, right? Grace is when you get something from God that you don't deserve. Right? And we've all got that at some point or another. I mean, this is when you see people that just live slimy lives and like good things come into their life. You know what I'm saying? Or like you see the people that win the lottery and you're like, they couldn't find their way out of a paper bag. Why did they win the lottery? I mean, I wouldn't know what to do with it if I won it, but they just don't look like they can manage that, right? That's God's grace. I mean, God just blesses us in ways, even though we don't deserve it at times. I don't know that winning the lottery is a blessing, but nonetheless, that's God's grace is when we experience things we don't deserve. And grace is not understandable, right? It's just who God is. It's one of the venues that God shows up in our life. Now, the second one is called justice. Now, one of my favorite stories on justice is about an old woman who goes into Olin Mills to get her photo taken. Do we still have Olin Mills around? Anybody know? We have Olin Mills in our community. You remember Olin Mills? You guys remember going to family photos? All right, so she goes in and she says to the photographer, she says, "Now do me justice. Do me justice when you take my photo." And the photographer looks at her and he says, "With all due respect, ma'am, you don't need justice, you need mercy." And so now mercy is a lot like God's grace, right? I mean, it's like grace, like you're gonna get something that you don't deserve. But see, justice is the principle whereby you reap what you sow. Right, where you reap what you sow, you get what you give. And this is what the breakthrough process is about. Right? Because see, you can't control God's grace. You can't control God's grace. He just generously gives it to us at times and it is bestowed upon us. But see, you can control reaping what you sow. You can, you know, get to the benefit by saying, okay, I'm gonna identify the blahs, I'm gonna make the break, I'm gonna go through the blues, and I'm gonna reap the benefits down the road. See, here's the thing, your marriage doesn't have to stay where it is right now. I tell couples all the time when they're dealing with difficult marriage stuff, I want you to picture that your marriage could actually be better than you've ever experienced to this point. But sometimes we have to make a break from the things that have got us to where we are. You don't have to live with credit card debt any longer. I mean, I thought that was gonna be part of my life forever, and then Julie and I made a break. And it was hard, it wasn't easy. Nearly 4 years of making nearly a double mortgage payment, the other second payment was going to, you know, the snowball effect on our credit cards. It's not easy. But that's why you need to get in Financial Peace University. You will develop a holistic strategy that will change how money works in your family. Your body, it does not have to stay the way it is right now. I mean, for some of us, you know, you're like, well, I just want some of God's grace on my body. If he could just suck some fat away, it'd be good, right? Well, God doesn't do that way. I wish he did. Now, for some of you, you have God's grace on your body all the time. You eat like 4 bags of Cheetos, they never show up on your waist. I don't know how you do it. I used to do that. Now I eat 2 Cheetos and they pop out immediately. And so, I mean, God's grace doesn't work when it comes physically to our bodies. But see, when you go through a process, you reap what you sow. And one of the fascinating things about the blessing phase is blessings are not nirvanas, all right? It's not like suddenly everything's perfect and everything's exactly the way it should be. No. I mean, you know, if we're looking for that, you're always going to be disappointed. Because see, here's what happens. You work through one thing, and guess what? God brings another challenge your way. He brings another challenge your way, and you're like, oh, I just got this all figured out. And then boom, you got something else to work through. Why? Because see, God's ultimate goal for you is not that you would just like go through life and have this cush, comfy, get to a place where I can just sit back and not do anything and really never apply myself. No, God's goal for you is the same that it was for the Israelites going to the promised land. He wanted to develop this intimacy and cultivate this trusting relationship with his people as he walked them through this process. And see, the same is true for you. It's not just getting to the end goal. God wants to develop a trust between you and him as you work through the blah, to the break, to the blues, to the blessing. So that's why the tests and stresses keep coming, because it develops us. It actually causes us to lean into him. Anybody watch the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day, out of curiosity? Oregon, Wisconsin, yeah, great game. Coach Mario Cristobal, at the end of the game, he was interviewed, and he said something that totally lines up with this whole process we've been talking about this morning. Take a look at this right here.
What does it mean for a group of guys that if you're a senior on this team, you went through a 4-8 season, now you're a Pac-12 champion, and you've won a Rose Bowl game in your senior year?
You know, Maria, it's part of a process that, you know, those are painful steps that you should never skip. And those are life lessons that these guys learned along the way. They put a foot in the ground when they were 4-8 and said, we're not going to let this happen. They took the lumps at 7-6. They climbed to 9-4. They stand here today as Pac-12 champions and Rose Bowl champions. It's awesome.
Did you catch what he said right here? There are certain steps you can never skip. And they went through their process 4 years ago. So if you're a freshman here, you were 4-8 4 years ago. And those guys, they made a break. They said, never again are we going to allow this to happen. And they said they took the hits, they took the lumps when they were 7-6. And then when they were 9-4, I mean, they continued to climb, but it took all of that process to get to winning the Pac-12 and eventually winning the Rose Bowl. See, this is the process that always has to take place for breakthrough. But the key is we have to choose to start. We have to choose to start. And I'm telling you, if you will invite God into that process, I'm telling you, you're going to begin to see his hand And you're going to experience his hand. And it's not always going to go the way you want. And there may be some side roads and some bypasses. And things may not go exactly according to your plan. But I guess I can tell you what, you're going to experience God's hand in that process. And you're going to grow in your trust and in your intimacy and in your belief and understanding of who God is. And I tell you what, you actually have the potential to have one of the best years yet. I really think that. So, what are we going to do as we walk out of here? Well, I want to give you a few next steps. They're on the back of your connection card. I've talked through some of them already, but let me just walk through a couple of these. Because some of us, we need to decide today. It's time to make a break from the boss. Maybe for you, it's returning next weekend. Maybe church is an automated system where you just come and you get built into. Maybe for you, it's just saying, I'm going to be here on Thursday, on Sunday. It's a commitment I'm going to make. Again, not because, oh, God will be happier with me. No, it's because God put this in place for us to be encouraged, to be sent out into the week for another week. Maybe it's making a break from something that you just got impressed with this morning. Or you've known that you need to make a break, and it's just choosing its time. Maybe it's getting into counseling. Maybe it's, you know, if you need a counseling referral, we'll send it to you this week. Again, it'll be confidential. It'll just be something we send to you, and then you will be able to take that step. Some of us know we need to take the step of counseling because that's really the next step for us to get out of the blahs and begin to get to a new place. Maybe it's automating, putting a system, whether it's joining a small group or joining Financial Peace University or joining the Success 2020, Drive Success. I mean, this is going to give you some tangible ways in community to achieve the things that you want to achieve this year. Again, these aren't for our benefit. These are things we're providing to say we want to help you get to a new place this year. Or maybe it's inviting Jesus just into the process. Maybe it's even trusting him for the first time in your life. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Or maybe you once did and you've gotten away from it and you've been trying to do it on your own and it's time to just return and say, okay, Jesus, I've tried this. I'm gonna invite you into this process. I want to put the weight of my life into who you are. So let's just make a decision before we get out of here this morning. What's that next step? Let's go ahead and stand. I want to pray for us. And then we're going to sing a couple more songs. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time. And God, we thank you for these pictures. I mean, this incredible picture of Shawshank Redemption and the story of Andy Dufresne, this picture of Moses, and the process that can take place in our lives as well. And God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that we get unexpected things from you that we don't deserve. We can't thank you enough for that. But we also know that there is a reap what you sow reality. And that even in that reality, you come and you bring strength. And so, God, I just pray that whatever we're deciding right now, I don't know what those decisions are that are going through our minds right now, but whatever we're deciding that we need to move on this week, God, we want more of you in our life. If that's inviting you in for the first time, Jesus, we just want to say yes. I want to know your grace and your goodness in my life, and I want your power coursing through my veins as I tackle this week. For those of us who have been walking with you, God, for years, we just want more of you this week. So we pray that you will infuse us with your spirit. You'll give us the courage that we need, the clarity that we need. And God, we want to make this the best year yet. So we just pray that you walk with us as we do. I pray these things in your name.